Well, hello there, ladies and gents. It's great to be back with everybody here today on Through the Wealth Lens. I'm Ryan Ruff, your moderator, and as always, I'll be joined in just a moment by Hannes Grascher, International Private Wealth Advisor with UBS, and of course, fellow, you know, wealth advisor in Max Grascher. We're going to be jumping into a really interesting conversation today, kind of piggybacking on some of the conversations that we've had in prior episodes surrounding athletes and entertainers and the multitude of financial challenges that they do face in their life. So as many of us could probably imagine, a professional athlete or an entertainer, well, their lives can be thrilling. They can be exhausting and rewarding all at the same time. But during the course of their career, they're going to be doing a lot of traveling. Maybe it's traveling to certain cities, maybe to play a match over the weekend, or it can be living in different cities over the course of different contracts in their careers. So what does this mean? Well, this whole topic creates a lot of conversations, a lot of questions surrounding their real estate holdings and the properties that they may own or they may rent throughout the course of their life and their career. We're going to be jumping into this conversation and many more questions that may face them with regard to their real estate holdings. A lot of good stuff to unpack today. And given today's conversation, we thought we'd bring in a guest expert. And boy, are we excited to welcome Rod Watson today to the show to get his expertise. Rod is the founder and CEO of Distinct Concierge Sports and Entertainment Real Estate Firm. We are so happy to have Rod aboard. A lot of good value in today's discussion. But before we bring Rod on and get right into the nitty gritty of everything, let's say hi to the guys. Hannes, Max, good to see you guys today. How are we doing?
Hey, great to be back, Ryan. And welcome to the show, Rod. And I have to expand his resume a little bit. Not only is he a real estate expert, but Rod actually used to play basketball professionally in Brazil and sort of has experienced some of these up and downs of, you know, moving around and having to live in different places. So he comes from this, comes to this from real life experiences. So really, really happy to have him on the show today.
Yeah. Well, with that, Rod, really appreciate you carving some time out of your busy schedule to jump on, and welcome to Through the Wealth Lens.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Hannes, Max and Ryan. Great to be here and have this discussion with you guys today.
Yeah, of course. Well, Rod, why don't we start from kind of a high level? I want to get your take on this, and that'll kind of open up today's conversation. What would you say are some of the top things that professional athletes should be on the lookout for when they're going through that process of signing their first pro contract and considering what their investment in real estate might look like as a result of that contract?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ron. You know, things that I think players, you know, when they're first coming into money, you know, and signing their contracts and, you know, they're earning millions of dollars at a very young age. You know, most guys in their early 20s, mid-20s, I think they have to be very conscious of the team that they build around them. I think that's very important. You know, one thing I would always share with young players is, you know, try your best to work with who's close in proximity to you, who you have relationships with, hire a great attorney. You know, focus on building your team out, you know, bringing in advisors that can properly advise you in the space when it comes to real estate. I would say educate and inform yourself early on in the beginning. Don't be in a rush. I know oftentimes when players come into the money, the first thing they want to do 9 times out of 10 is buy mom a house. And that's okay. But I think before taking those steps and doing that, you really want to build the team around you of professionals that can properly advise you, help you structure the necessary deals that you're planning or deal that you're planning to do, you know, property or properties that you're planning to purchase. But I think the biggest thing is really being conscious of the team and the type of people you have around you that can properly advise and guide you.
Of course. And Rod, you know, I think a lot of our audience members are hearing us, have heard a similar tune, if you will, on prior episodes of the show, talking about us assembling and working with that team of professionals around them so that they can mitigate or avoid, sidestep, choose your verb on, you know, sidestepping some of those mistakes. Isn't that right, Max? What do you say to this?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Ryan. And just to expand on what Rod said, really, whenever you're selecting, you know, the people that are going to make up your team. So whether that's a real estate agent, your financial advisor, your accountant, business manager, trust and estate attorney, et cetera, you know, you really want to make sure that they share your ethics and are really operating in your best interest. You know, one thing we often tell clients is always ask for referrals, you know, have background checks done to make sure they're dependable individuals. Whenever there's something in the works, like buying a home or considering any significant investment, it can take the best from all of these parties to really create that best outcome for the client. So if one cog isn't working properly, the entire machine won't work. You know, in many cases, we love teaming up with Rod because he and his firm share the same principles of working as a team and keeping each other in the loop on the decisions the athlete makes financially. So we want to make sure that at the end of the day, the decision made is best for the client. That can't be done unless we're all coordinating with one another and at the same time, we're educating the client so he or she becomes more familiar with why we're doing something that's best for him or her.
And Rod, obviously, as a major public figures that are known to have wealth, there are plenty of people out there that are simply looking to make a quick buck off these athletes, right? So what are some of the strategies that help athletes with from a real estate perspective that protect their wealth and privacy?
Yeah, well, great question too there, Hans. I think structuring entitlement, how you entitle your deal, you know, and, you know, meaning if you're placing your properties in a trust, blind trust, LLCs, those are great ways to protect privacy. And also, again, who you have working to oversee the transaction. So I think it's important, like Max brought up, that you have a team of individuals that are not only collaborative, but everyone's communicating and on the same page. Because I've been in many transactions where a player's identity or your privacy can be compromised for the fact that you may not have someone on the same page that's working on the opposite side. Maybe it's a business manager, maybe it's the financial manager, maybe it's the lender that they're working with. So you have to make sure everyone is on the same page and understanding what the goal is. And if the goal, which is always should be, is to protect the player's privacy, you want to bring in a good attorney that can also oversee that process, but is also, again, communicating with everyone effectively to ensure that that player's privacy and their best interest is kept intact and protected throughout the process of the transaction, both at the beginning and post close. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we work in a society where, you know, people are always trying to, you know, garner, I guess, more or less attention off of these players, you know, and what they're doing, every move that they're making. People are using that to, when I say using that, meaning they're using what these players are doing off the court to post on social media to say, hey, they're doing this, they here, or they actually own a house here, or they own houses here. And that's really hard with the tabloids and the media that's always seeking information. They're paying for information so they can post and get more likes and views. And so I think we have to be very conscientious when helping them set up their actual trust or their LLCs or entitlements, that we're working with a solid team that can be focused on helping them successfully navigate those transactions and then protect their privacy where the public does not know or is not even informed that they actually own those assets.
That's great. And folks, as you can see, that's why Rob is so good at what he does. Guys, I do want to switch gears a little bit now, kind of from an investment perspective, if you will. And Hannes, I'll throw this next question over to you. What are some of the more popular ways that you guys see those, you know, athletes and entertainers out there able to generate significant wealth by leveraging their real estate holdings to kind of diversify their portfolios and ultimately enhance that long-term wealth that we talk about so much on this show?
Yeah, sure. Just to build on what Roger said, so it may just start with, you know, initial purchase of a home in the city where they're playing, right? But without going into specific products, there are several ways athletes and entertainers can diversify some of their wealth into real estate assets. We have seen some who built a real estate portfolio of rental properties, for example. So they might devote a percentage of their paycheck to adding to that real estate portfolio along the way. They might buy one house and then buy another house and then buy a third house, and they are rental properties. And so the benefits here are direct ownership, rental income, and most likely or hopefully the appreciation of those properties. However, it does require more direct involvement in the management of that portfolio. Now, if you have a team around you and you have an expert on your team who can handle the operational aspects, that might be a good option. You know, so then doing that kind of strategy may work. But then there are also private equity funds that handle management and investment decisions for you. And so the advantages of these funds are that the managers are real expert, right? And they can usually diversify more and can invest in different types of real estate properties, you know, multifamily homes, medical facilities, et cetera. And they can also invest in different regions of the country or even the world. Now, the disadvantages are the lack of complete visibility and sometimes a lack of liquidity. as there are often lockup periods with these private equity funds, and you may not be able to withdraw funds immediately if you ever need them, right? So now in terms of when you were talking about diversification, we've seen allocation of between 5% and 30% of investments made in what we call alternative investments, and real estate is part of that. We know that some family offices have gone up as high as 30%. So this is really, you know, a way for these athletes to build wealth. A lot of them, as Rod said, have never owned homes before. It's their first time homeowners, and it's really a great way to learn and then build, you know, build on those first experiences and build a real estate portfolio that can really sort of secure your legacy and the wealth for your family and for future generations. And Rod, I'm sure you have conversations with clients looking to purchase real estate for investment purposes quite frequently, and have your own process when exploring if it makes sense for them.
Yeah. So, you know, if I hear you correctly, you're asking me what's our process when we're actually talking with our clients that are inquiring about purchasing, you know, property or investing in real estate, correct? Well, you know, what I try to do is have a clear understanding of what their goals are and where they are currently. Like I said, most players, when they're first starting out, they've never owned real estate before. So what I tell them in the first year, I think that's the year that they're in the league, is to start, you know, when they're in that first contract, is to start building their team and then start gaining an understanding of asset classes, right? And where they are and where their income is and what they actually can afford. Of course, when you're talking about a single family residence, where, again, most players want to buy mom a home, or then they want to think about a primary residence, I talk with them about, you know, what's important to them, right? And getting them to understand the process before just diving in, really understanding all the moving pieces and the responsibilities just would come with owning a primary residence, the upkeep that comes with owning a home, the cost, you know, utilities, maintenance, right? All of those things add up every month, and they add up pretty quickly. And then also, you know, thinking about the long term, where are you looking to be at the end of your career? How many, you know, properties do you plan to acquire, would like to acquire over the course of your career? And once you get into that second contract, what I tell players is, once you're successful after that first contract, then I think that's the time you want to start looking at investing and buying. And if you are fortunate enough where you're a lottery pick, right, where you're going to get anywhere between 30, 40, 50 plus million dollars in your first contract, then it may make sense at that particular point in time to consider buying. And if you're going to buy a mom or property, then let's go through the necessary steps to make sure you're buying it right, right, where you're not overpaying for that property. Also, that you're entitling the property right, where you're setting up the trust to protect the asset and the family, because it's a big burden, right? And you may want to stair step that. Maybe the goal is not to necessarily, you know, buy mom that big dream home, but you start with a starter home for mom, right? If she's not already currently living in her own property, or maybe if she is in her own property, you're paying that property off. So that, again, there's that stair-step process that when you get ready to buy her that second property in the contract, now she can rent that first property out that you paid off that maybe she already owned prior to you coming into the league. And there's some cash flow there, whereas you're not totally relying on your income from your actual contract to cover the mortgage and the upkeep of that property. So it's having conversations like that to really inform players and get them to understand what they're going to be entering into. And also having a high level of involvement, not just trusting what everyone is saying, actually doing the research or sitting down with your team and allow them to go through sharing the information that they've gathered from doing the research to make sure that you're fully informed and aware of what you're taking on.
Hey, Rod, I have one additional question. I think a little bit from a different perspective. So, you know, we have these players that, you know, they come into the league, maybe they're not making, you know, huge sums of money until their second contract. How do you guys usually deal with players that, let's say, they're past that, you know, peak of their career, there's a chance that they might get traded more often, they have, you know, a substantial real estate asset in a certain city where they've been for a while. You know, how do you usually go about the process when there's a chance they may get traded to, you know, a city however many miles away, maybe spend a season or two there and then move on? There's got to be some, you know, some kind of, you know, different thought process there. Can you just go into that a little bit?
As far as how do we advise a player that may already own a property in a particular city and then they're going to get traded somewhere else, right? What I always say is, you know, let's look at again, if a player is kind of on the back end of his career, or you know, maybe they're in their second contract and it's not looking like they're going to get a third or fourth, but they're getting traded somewhere else and there's uncertainty where they're going to be a free agent coming into the next year after that trade, then what I try to tell players is, you know, basically don't over leverage yourself. You know, don't go buy another property in that new city. Be patient, right? Let's see if your new contract comes in. Also, you know, if that player has already been playing in the league at a substantial period of time, where let's say it's 3, 4, 5 years and they already own a property, I try to encourage properties from that first property that you, I try to encourage players to understand from that first property that you purchase, you may want to go ahead and make sure that property's paid off, right? So any signing bonus money that you have coming in or any money that you've been able to put away outside, you know, from your contract, maybe think about using that money to pay that asset off. And then if you're no longer going to be living in that asset, you can rent it out. There's various things depending on where the property is. The property can be positioned to be an income generating asset. And then you can use that money to pay your rent wherever you're going to be playing in the next city. Or if your career is over with, now you have a property that's free and clear that you can either leverage and sell and use that proceeds from that sale to whether it's reinvest into more real estate or to use that towards, you know, building out your continued real estate portfolio post-career. So it really just kind of depends on where that player is. Also, mindset, I think, is really important. What I found is that once players are a little bit over that over that threshold of their first contract and a little bit more mature, they can make better sound decisions where they can really have a clear understanding of the process, who they're working with, who they can trust, and make, you know, some really good informed decisions where when they're playing the sport, I always try to tell players, keep the main thing, right? And don't get overwhelmed with trying to do too much off the court or off the field early on in your career. But when a player is kind of bouncing around from city to city and they're on, let's just say they're not making a substantial amount of money like maybe some of the max players do, I think they have, those players have to be very careful in how they invest their money and where they invest their money. And that's the last thing I tell players. Just because you're in a city and, you know, that city may be, you know, it's not a destination city. Let's say somewhere like Indiana, right, or Cleveland. You get traded to those cities. Those aren't destination cities. I try to encourage players, if you're going to invest in real estate, buy in a destination city or a place where you went to college or where you're from that you're familiar with. Try not to buy in multiple cities that you're either not familiar with that are not destination cities unless the numbers and the data support that making that decision makes sense.
Now, this is great. Rod, really appreciate your insight. And there you have it, folks. I mean, making a decision on the real estate side of things for these athletes and entertainers out there can be huge. They can make or break the financial situations that are going on. Rod, for anybody out in our audience that has learned a thing or two or would just enjoy picking your brain, your team's brain, learning more from you guys, or even having a conversation about their own unique situation, what would be the best way somebody could reach out, find you online, and open up a dialogue?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on LinkedIn at Rod Watson. You can also connect with me on Instagram, which I think a lot of players are on those, on both of those platforms, Instagram mostly, at RodWatson23. And then you can also just reach out to me directly via email, and that's rod@distinctconcierge.com. So those are ways that you can reach out and connect with me. I'm typically, you know, on those social platforms, posting content, engaging with other clients, or just, you know, people in the social media space.
Awesome. Well, Rod, thanks again. I appreciate you. And Hannes and Max, I know, I mean, you guys, like we talked about a moment ago, are part of that team, the team of trusted advisors that work with these athletes and entertainers. For anybody out there that could use a conversation, really to dive into the more financial side of things, the wealth management conversations, what would be the best way somebody could get in touch with you two to start a conversation?
Sure, Ryan. So via email, we can be reached at maximilian.grosher@ubs.com. or directly by phone at 212-713-8952. And like Rod, we're also on LinkedIn, both Hannes and myself.
And also on our website, under the New York International Group at UBS, you'll find several of our podcasts and also information on the team. So you can reach us that way as well.
Perfect. Well, gentlemen, really appreciate everybody, you know, chunking some time out of their busy schedules to jump on today. And, you know, Rod, will hopefully have to have you back on down the road and jump into another conversation with you.
That sounds good, guys. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks, Rod.
Thanks for coming on, Rod.
Of course. And hey, folks, we want to take a final beat here and thank you for stopping by and spending time with us on the show as well. If you enjoyed today's discussion, you learned a thing or two. I know I did. Then make sure you subscribe to the platform on whichever, you know, the show that is on whichever platform you checked us out on today so that you don't miss out on any future conversations between Hannes, Max, myself, maybe one of our guests like Rod, where we jump into these different avenues of the wealth management world so that you and yours come out better for it. Before Rod, for Hannes and Max, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long now, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Through the Wealth Lens.
This communication is intended to be used for educational purposes only and does not constitute a solicitation to purchase any security, insurance, or advisory service. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. An investment in any security involves significant risks, and any investment may lose value. Refer to all risk disclosures related to each security product carefully before investing. This commentary is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be officially those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated, and the firm does not verify nor guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products and services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary.